You're listening to The Green Thumbs Up, brought to you by Miniquip Hire, WA's leading machinery hire company, supporting the Landscape Industries Association, WA.
G'day landscapers, welcome to another episode of Green Thumbs Up, the landscaping podcast brought to you by landscapers for landscapers and by our special friends at Miniquip Hire, Domus and Bailey's Fertilisers. And today in the Greenwood studio, we have Ben Sims from Ben's Gardens, and in the hot seat, we have Drew from Word Landscapes. G'day Drew, how are you mate?
G'day Nick, thanks for having me down here mate, doing well.
Yeah, that's good. So, I mean, just to start with, I've always wanted to know, how did you come up with the name Word Landscapes?
Look, it's a long kept secret and I generally try and see how long it takes for the client to work out
where it came from. You don't have to tell us, but I mean, I think a lot of our members, a lot of our listeners would love to find out.
You've got
out,
a pen
mate.
And paper in front of you there Nick.
Yeah,
just
I've
write
got it.
Word, just write Word down.
Yep,
W-E-R-D.
Yep.
And now write it backwards.
I don't know. Hang on. Here we go. Oh, Drew. Gee, you're kidding.
Yeah, no, wow. That's it. Magic.
Bullshit. That, I mean.
So there's a backstory, which not many people know, but I did dabble as a part-time DJ back in my day, and that was my DJ name was Word.
I think so. I might have seen a little bit floating around on, you know, maybe MySpace. Does it go back that far or are you still pretty current? You're still practicing DJ?
Not playing out. I still enjoy the music. I still, heavily in, you know, that's what I like listening to.
Yeah.
I'll, mate, available for bar mitzvahs and weddings if you've got anything
50s,
coming up.
50s, RSL par, anything like
Vossi's
that.
Yep. 65th coming up in a minute.
Yep.
But yes.
I can't believe you've got me on the word, the Drew, you know, that's blown my mind. I don't think I'm going to be, I'll need a 5 minute break after learning that.
It's one of those names that when I started the business just seemed logical because that was the DJ name. And now I do think, you know, I could probably rebrand, but it's something
I don't
stuck
think.
With
I
now,
mean,
so.
A lot of people in marketing would be going, Jesus, that is brilliant.
Yeah,
you know, like look. That. I mean, you pay top dollar for that sort of, you know, those sort of ideas these days. Like that's, yeah.
Mate, you that one came up after quite a long night with a couple of mates on the beers, so you didn't have to pay anything for that.
I think it was well worth it.
But the number of times I get people call up saying, is that Drew from Weird Landscapes?
I like that. And that is, you know, that's a bit of a play on it as well. Maybe that could be the rebranding.
It could be, yeah. We'll just we'll start doing just succulents and a mixture of, you know, evergreens.
Cool. All right, so now we know that, and that's sort of put me at ease a little bit now that we've got the background story to it. But we always like to ask our guests how you got into the industry. So, you know, you're probably a leader in the industry and you've been around for a bit. How did you get involved at the start?
Thanks for the compliment, Nick. I think it's might have been talking a little bit of waffle there.
It might be the third beer.
mate, I dabbled in a couple of trade. I was labouring when I first left school, so worked for a couple of different construction trades. And then when I got out of Busselton, where I grew up, I've been a really transient character. Worked in a lot of different jobs. Worked up north, hurling, and then I was up north shot firing. But when I came back to Perth, I was looking for construction jobs that I enjoyed, and I responded to an ad from David Wheeler, who's a landscape architect here in Perth.
Yeah, okay.
And that was my first sort of foray into the landscaping, and just really enjoyed it. It was one of those jobs that stuck with me.
And that was residential landscaping, or
it was. Yeah, yep. He had a contract at the time to do some of the train line, the train station upgrade. So I learned a little bit of maintenance, and but then he also did the residential side of things. So worked with a really, really cool Kiwi fella called Howie, who taught me sort of a really good skill set in the construction side of things. And then a bit more travelling, a bit more working up north, and then decided I wanted to settle down in Perth. I had a young daughter at that point and thought I need to get a job, a serious job.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
So just
we've all been through that.
Yeah. I bought myself a trailer and a few tools and just was replying at that stage just to, you know, ads on Gumtree and it just sort of, it's grown from there.
So your background in training wasn't through TAFE, an apprenticeship? No. It was all on the job?
It's all been learnt on the job, so I don't...
And that was with, you know, Howie or... Yeah.
So, you know, I did some plastering when I was, you know, 18, 19, worked for bricklayers when I was growing up in Busselton. So I've got, you know...
It's a good base for a landscaper because obviously, you know, landscaping isn't just one sort of trade, whereas a bricky or a sparky maybe. When landscapers, you know, do every facet of building, really.
Very much so. And that's, you know, that's why I say to anyone that cares to listen, I think it's the best job in the world because, you know, our job is so varied. We, you know, every day is different. We'll be one day we're installing retic system, the next day we're putting in lights, and the next day we're, you know, building brick walls. So that's one of the things I love. It keeps it interesting. You know, you're not just laying 1,000 bricks a day. You're not just...
Yeah, you're not meter rating.
Meters.
More. And so, you know, talking about that, are your jobs fairly intricate? You know, like, are you doing the majority of the hard landscaping yourself or are you subcontractors? How do you go about it? Day to day?
I'd say we probably do 80% of the construction and the work in-house.
Yep.
We do all our sort of brickwork, block work. We do all our, most of our own stonework, certainly cladding and a lot of what's on the floor. And then I've got a select group of subbies, contractors that I've...
And they more specialised?
Yeah, know, like so those, like concrete, Emmanuel, we've already talked about today, those special finishers, chippies, guys that are doing, you know, steel structures, that's the specialised. But, we, you know, they're guys that I've used for 5 years or more now that I'm very loyal to.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's just it's important in any business to focus on what you're good at and then, you know, get the guys that you know are...
Yeah, they know what they're doing, so you just let them go for it.
Exactly.
And so with Word Landscapes, how long you been going now?
12 years it will be. So 2010 started up.
And, you know, like a lot of the landscapers we have in, you know, like myself, you start with a ute and then, you know, you build up. You don't necessarily need to have more staff, but your skill set changes. Mm. So has it changed from day one to day 12 years down the track? Like, what is it?
Yeah, it definitely has. It was a ute and a trailer, like most guys at the start. And it's not much more than that now. You know, we've built the plant up a little bit, but I've got three guys in the in-house in the team. And my ethos with work always, not just in the landscaping, but prior to that, has been work-life balance. So I've just found, you know, the size that it's grown to now is very manageable. I can still be heavily involved in all the projects, build those client relationships, but not feel like I'm constantly chasing tail to keep, you know, feed other guys.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, that's something I'm, you know, really strong on. I've got a young family, a young daughter that, you know, I like to spend as much time as I can with.
Yeah, I see that. Yeah.
And I think it just, and it helps keep the passion as well. You know, picking and choosing the right jobs.
Yeah, so that's probably going to be my next question is how do you keep a lid on that? Because, you know, I woke up 20 years ago with a ute and woke up today and there's trucks and all these things outside that I'm like, what happened? You know, I only really wanted to do a few jobs here and there, you know.
Yeah.
So how do you manage that, especially in the market we're in? Are you good at saying no, or you just people are willing to wait? How does it work?
Yeah, I ask myself that question a bit. I do think, you know, there's two different types of business owners, and I've got, you know, the utmost respect for guys like yourself and your Tim Davies and the Cuthberts that have grown, you know, have had the ability and done really well at growing their businesses. It's just for me, it's keeping a focus on what's outside of the business, and that is, you know, having a social life, having, you know, a family life, being having the ability to travel, things like that. So work is –
it's important.
It's important, but it's, you know, it's almost secondary for me, which – And I don't want to come across as sounding, you know, like I'm just flying by the seat of my pants, but I...
But you are. No, I'm not joking. No.
Pretty much. Being self-employed just... It's,
gives you the ability,
it's allowed me the ability to, you know,
go
to Melbourne on a weekend, go, you know, take a few days off to spend time. You know, my daughter's got an athletics carnival this Friday, so, you know, I'll take that day off.
And watch that. Yeah.
I think that's...
I think that's important for everyone. You know, because life, you know, especially when you've got kids, moves so fast.
Yeah.
And you wake up one day and they've gone.
Yeah.
And you've missed it.
Exactly.
So, you know, I hear you. I've got young kids. But, you know, like how do you manage your clients' expectations with, or, you know, they, is there no issue or, you know, like... I mean, it's a hard question, I guess, but
Yeah. I can be a bit unrealistic with my time frames at the start of jobs and think we're going to... We're going to smash through this in 2 months, and 4 months later,
still
you know,
there. You've still moved in
exactly. but the you know the good thing, I think there's been a bit of a shift in clients' expectations, and certainly their you know that you can't turn on the news or open the newspaper without seeing that you know the construction industry is being hit with shortages.
Materials,
supply chain
labor,
breakdown.
Yeah.
I just think client expectations have become a little bit more realistic, so that's been a good thing. And just trying to be honest and upfront with clients, showing up when you say you're going to be there, showing them you're doing your very best.
You know, managing those expectations has been with COVID easier or harder? Would you? I mean,
I think the first 12 months was difficult because I don't think anyone, well, no one knew what was going to happen.
A lot of uncertainty. I just thought we'd all just be out of business.
And you know, you would have been the same, and the colleagues I speak to, everyone just got exponentially busier.
Yeah. Like a week later.
Yeah. So that was a tricky period. I think now just those expectations have become a little bit more realistic. And it's, for me, it's just picking and choosing the right jobs now, making sure that I feel like we're the right fit for the client, the client's going to be the right fit for us, because that's something that I love the most about the job we have is building that relationship with the client.
Yeah.
I think, you know, some of these projects, you'll be in their backyard for 3 or 4 months and... You want them to be comfortable that you're there, and you know, like Vossi was saying earlier, there's no better reward than at the end of the job, you're getting a message on a Sunday saying, you know, a photo saying, you know, we're loving the pool,
the
you know,
kids'
thanks
party
for the job.
Or the nana's 80th or whatever it might be.
Exactly.
You do. I mean that for I think from any landscape or any you know anyone in our industry, those sort of that sort of feedback, I guess, from the client is just amazing. I mean, and that's really what makes you
absolutely
keep going there on the Monday.
Yeah.
You know, so, yeah. And so how long from, you know, would you be taking bookings now? Like, would it be, you know, can I ring you and you'll be able to go there next week? Or what are we looking?
Look, we're sort of... At the moment, it's sort of starting to get to early next year, March, April.
Yeah. That's like mid.
But
it's all in the wording, though. I get it. You know?
Yeah. You know, I've heard you ask the question before of Ryan Vossi. You know, what size job do you like? That you know, there's always room to fit those.
Yep.
You know, those smaller jobs in. I really enjoy those as well. They're nice just to break up your weeks, and you know, again, because of that work-life balance, I like to keep the schedules reasonably flexible and, you know, offer the same thing to the guys that, you know, work with me.
Yep.
Because, you know, life throws up things all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
especially if you've got young family, other things going on. And plus with the market that the builders are in, you might have a job booked in for next week that you've been waiting to get started on. And they might be behind 6 months. So you've probably got to then fill your... Having a little bit of fluidity, I guess, in your schedule would help.
Absolutely.
In the current environment.
Yeah, so. We do. We've got a good relationship with one of the good builders in Perth, and you know, hats off to those guys, how they're trying to manage client expectation, because, you know, that these are, you know, $2 million builds, and it's a little bit different. These are, and people are having to rent while the houses are being built. So that's definitely affected us, just having, you know, start dates pushed back. But again, I think just being able to have the business at a size and structured so that we can have that, you know, little bit of fluidity, like you said,
so,
is important.
Where do you get majority of your work from? Is it word of mouth? Is it through referral? Is it, you know, do you advertise? How do you go about it?
Yeah, mostly a lot of referrals. We've got a good relationship with some good designers and architects, and so they would, you know, I do enjoy those referrals, because, you know, generally the architect or the designer's vetted the client and knows that we're going to be a good fit. So
they've sort of qualified the client. You don't have to, you know,
get a little feelers out.
Is this going to work? You know, you've already sort of had that introduction, I guess.
That's right.
Yeah.
And God, if someone could tell me how to, I could not get the 20 phone calls a week trying to put us on the front page of Google, I would love that.
Oh, look, yeah. I think we are on the front page. I want someone to ring and say, how do you get off it?
Yeah.
You know, like that's a possible, a new way of marketing. Right,
that,
you know,
would be
like,
my worst nightmare, to wake up tomorrow and find that we were second to you guys on page of Google, because, you know, the phone rings and you think, and it's a question I'll ask, I'm just like, how did you get our number? But we don't advertise. There's a little bit on Instagram. You know, there's referrals, but, you know, when you're only doing 10 jobs a year, you're not getting a million referrals. So you do wonder.
Well, I mean, you know, talking about, you know, your marketing and your Instagram, I think that would probably be a pretty good, you know, gauge. A lot of people would be looking at some of the work you do through Instagram. Would I be right in saying it? Do you care, or do you, or is it just something you do just out of
varying levels of sort of care about Instagram? Like early stages, when I realised there was an opportunity there, I saw it as a tool, a free tool.
Yep.
So I probably focus more on that than I'd care to admit. But these days now, it's almost like, oh, I guess we'd,
well, it's like a slog. And we honestly, I mean, this is probably our 45th episode, and we've had 20, 30 landscapers in here, and I always, you know, sometimes ask the question, and I don't get many that love it. I don't get many that go, it's my most favourite thing of the business is getting on Instagram and, you know, I mean, finding content and just trying to be interesting, or, you know, like, do you leave it for, you know, your designers and do you do a little bit yourself?
Pretty fortunate. Like the architects and the designers, they probably got more time up their sleeves, but they tend to hit it pretty hard. And most of them are pretty generous with the, you know,
the sharing.
Yeah. And Vossi would say the same thing. You know, when our esteemed colleague Tristan's put something up, because
you get a number of hits, or
you get a million hits, and next week your phone's ringing, and it's that simple. So, that's the beauty of having built these relationships. There's some mutual back scratching, and guys are looking after each other.
It's a sort of a community, I guess.
Yeah,
like, you know, and you know, you're involved in it, and Instagram, for love it or hate it, you know, a lot of people are out there on their phones, mums and dads are looking at it, and if they're your job, you know, it's going to help you, you know, obviously get work in the future. I mean, we don't know what's around the corner, so you've still got to be promoting your business and doing those sorts of things,
course.
I guess, you know.
Yeah.
So, have you got any favourite projects that you've worked on or you're working on currently? You got anything special that you're doing? I think you've been involved in some award-winning type projects as well. Is that, would I be right in saying that?
Yeah, we've had, yeah, look, we've, again, you know, the award game isn't one that I've played. It's something that I think is, you know, I think it gives that, you know, that notice respect to jobs that have been well done.
Yep. Well, when the architects and designers obviously get some certain level of, you know, adulation or whatever they're looking for as well, yeah. which helps, you know. And I guess Perth being a small place, mm. it definitely helps to put your brand in a different spot than yeah. some of the other landscapers.
Yeah.
Do you feel that you have to compete with other landscapers or...?
No. Like I'm at the moment, and not saying this is going to be forever, but I feel at the moment there is... You know, the market's that hot. You know, there's enough work out there for everyone.
Yeah, for all levels, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Back to your favourite jobs, like I think the ones that, you know, I've warmed to the most have been the ones where I stand back at the end and go, that's the backyard I'd like at my own place, yep. not yep. the one that is going to be on the front page of.
Home know, beautiful or something.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yep. But the ones where you go, oh, God, I could spend weekends, every weekend here
yep.
with a bunch of mates and, you know, enjoy hanging out. So they're the ones. And also the ones that, you know, been the most challenging. When you can pull off those really tricky builds, you know, without too many hiccups and a really happy client at the end, they're super rewarding.
And do you find that your jobs are getting more difficult, like the level of work that you're doing, or is it over the journey? I guess it probably has been.
Yeah, absolutely. Like in the 12 years, look at what we started doing and what I was doing at the start. It was, you know, limestone walls and a bit of lawn, and now we're, you know, doing some quite intricate and, you know, high level of construction
yeah.
jobs. And, yeah. and I do enjoy that. I enjoy that challenge. But like Vossi said before, it's client satisfaction at the end of each job's how you gauge your, yeah. you know, you set your markers. And if your clients are happy, then you've done your job well.
Yeah. And so are you more construction side of things or, you know, plant-based? What do you prefer? Do you like your foliage or you like your, you know, your cladding? What are you about in that regard?
I do like a bit of stonework, I'm not going to lie, but yep. but I yep. also when I first started, again, because I don't have any certificates or actual you know, qualifications, so the foliage side of things, the softscaping, terrified me a little bit because mm-hmm. I knew 10 plants and I would meet clients that knew, you know, every plant
over yeah, so yeah, yeah. this tree. Oh, we're working with one at the moment, so it's great.
But, you know, as you build your knowledge and expand your knowledge, like it is something I'm definitely more interested in now. I feel comfortable
yep.
talking about plants and what's going to work well and soils and so on. So, but yeah, I've still got a soft spot for the construction side of things. I do like that built form, something that, you know, you've built with your own bare hands and it's going to last
the test of time.
So
are you like one of those dads that drives down, you know, through Absolutely. West Coast Highway and goes, I did that one,
yeah.
you know, to your yeah. daughter?
I'll go knock on the door and see if they're home so we can go out the back and have yeah. yeah, very much so.
I'm sure that, and you obviously, do you go back and see clients?
Yeah, look, you know, it's not every client, everyone's busy, but...
It's not like you've got, what am I going to do tomorrow? I might go and knock on.
Yeah. Yeah, true. But no, look, again, having, you know, when clients are still messaging you 6 months, 12 months, 2 years after the job, you know you've made a positive impact yeah. in their life. And that's yep. a really, you know, it just reaffirms what we're doing is.
Oh, that is amazing. And it's, you know, it's got to make you feel great.
Yeah.
Really, you know, on you know, because obviously, you know, landscaping can be a bit tough from time to time and a little bit lonely, I guess. But you know, if you've got that support, you know, around and talking about that, do you, you know, you obviously socialise with a few of the landscapers around? Do you get out there and
yeah, got a couple of, and you know, I think we're spoilt here in Perth. It feels like a little community is the best way to describe it. There's some you know, some great people in our community, in the industry, and not just for having a beer with, but just, you know, sharing ideas, sharing materials. You know, yep. you're one that I look up to, Nick. You know, you're always, you know, very giving and gracious of your time. And, you know, we cleaned you out of the Miss Muffets the other week, and I thank you for that. But no,
no, I appreciate that. No, we've got an upset client, and, yeah. But no, that's good. But look, everyone's, you know, in the industry, you know, in it for the right reasons, I think. And that's, you know, been, you know, getting to know people has been a, you know, great part of it for me, and doing the podcast, getting to hear the stories like yours. So we're going to wrap it up in a minute, but what do you do, you know, outside of, you know, I hear you, you know, travelling, you've got your daughter, you know, you've got, obviously you've got something big coming up on the weekend that you're going to look forward to, I think, is that?
The footy.
The footy, yeah, yeah. So
I do like the footy. Unfortunately, my team got knocked out a couple of weeks ago, but my daughter's a mad Freo supporter.
Oh, so you're not Freo. You're
mate, I've got two hats. I'm a Carlton man.
Oh, yeah, no, yeah, yeah.
So.
Condolences.
That is heartbreak. I'm sorry I brought it up, mate.
That's all right. Like, I took her over to – we went to the G for the game.
Yeah, I saw that, yeah.
And I didn't want to leave her with that sort of bad taste in her mouth, so we went to the final on Saturday, which was a – we left there with a smile on our face.
But could have gone anyway. But, I mean, look, amazing. Yeah. It would have been fantastic, wouldn't it,
the ground? Yeah, look, I love this time of year. Like, footy's – you know, Ryan was touching on it earlier. Like, it's – you know, it's in our blood. I love watching it, used to play it, and seeing my daughter really get behind her team and get involved is something pretty special. Yeah, I'm a social guy. I like to mix my weekends up with friends and the beach and outdoors. Yep. So not much of a drinker, you would have seen. So,
No, I've noticed that,
you know, more into, you know, long walks on the beach and hikes with the dog.
Yeah, look, the sunset.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Nah, good on you, mate. Appreciate you having coming in and spending the time with us. And Benno?
Yep, thanks so much,
Drew. Thanks, Benno. Cheers,
guys. You've been listening to The Green Thumbs Up, brought to you by the Landscape Industries Association, WA, sponsored by Miniquip Hire.